461, the matter is yours, Lord Jesus Christ, the matter at which we stand. The matter is yours, at which we stand. And because it is your matter, it cannot fail. Alone the corn of wheat, before it reaches the light, it first dies and is loosened from its own nature. You went before us as the head, through suffering, and you lead everyone who believes. You died as the corn of wheat and went down to the grave. Revive the world which God gave you. Send messengers in every land, so that your name might be known. Thy name is full of glory. We are ready for your service. Ready for the service. Ready for the service in the battle. Thanks be to the Lord for this opportunity that we can be here again to hear His word. I don't know whether some of the brothers have their heart still full. I don't see Brother Kupfer right now. He lowered himself much. Oh yes, he's here. I will just read some scriptures. But should you or some of the brothers from Belgium have a short thought which you like to bring, then you are welcome to it. In the meantime, I have to bring you the sad news that Brother Pirsig went home. And every time when we hear that somebody goes home, then it touches our hearts. And we know that the hour will come for everybody. Nothing on earth comes as certain as the hour in which we have to go from here. And perhaps there are youngsters or who even are under this age who are not yet able to consider what it is if one has become older. One thinks seriously about it. And one asks himself the question, how it will be there. I don't mean now the glory, this will be there, but how we will perform before God, how we will arrive there, that is important. And everybody who has some years behind him on this pilgrimage, he will examining himself, time and again examining himself. Self-confidence is out of place there. But a deep looking into oneself and the question, can I stand my ground before me, before the people and before God? This is the big question. To it comes that we all, who we got older, yes, we wished to be once again 18 or 19. Most certainly everybody, without exception, whoever is 50 or older, under 50 probably not, but all who are 50 and more, they will most probably have thought sometimes, ah, how nice it would be if one could start all over again, if one would be again 17 or 18, this would be nice. And do you know that we have these kind of thoughts? This has a special reason. After all, we are ordained to one day be young and to remain young throughout all eternity. And I have read this somewhere recently in a sermon of Brother Branham, in an English sermon. I didn't want to go into detail when I told you my experience from the 1st of January 1981, that I have seen all the people young, 17, 18 years old, but all had also their own hair. It was such a thing with the hair. It stood out. Every hair color which everybody had, this he had also there. And in this English sermon, I have really read where Brother Branham said when he was on the other side that all had white garments, but everyone had their own hair color. And the tears were in my eyes. And I thought, Lord, I hesitated to say what I have seen and what I have experienced. And here I hear it from the mouth of your servant and prophet. So it really will be. We will all be young and everyone will know everyone. Everyone will know everyone. It's not like a cloud, but we are the way we are, fully discernible with a body, 100%. That's how I have seen the people and that's how it will be. What a hope. Not only the wish to be once again young and to start all over, but it will be given to us by God to be young, not to start anymore or not to stop, but to be joined with God throughout all eternity. Now, we feel, of course, with our sister, and we know that God does not make any mistake. When the funeral will be, is not known at this time. We hope that on Wednesday we will know it, so that I can participate. For I fly on Wednesday to Bombay. And then it goes with a very busy tour through almost all of India, down to the southern tip, and then up to the north. And I ask you to remember me in your prayers. Now, I don't know whether I shall announce the next Israel trip. Every time when a year comes to its end, then I think on Israel and on the friends who like to be there. The suggestion was that from the 7th, that's how it was probably, from the 7th until, I think it's 2 weeks, until the 18th, we would then, in the coming year, travel to Israel. We will announce it. Should brothers and sisters be there? Pardon? Ah, in May. In May. From the 7th to the 18th of May 1984. You all know I have written it. And I will write it again. Not out of opposition, but out of responsibility before God and the people. That 84 will come and go, just as 83 has come and will go, without that any prediction, any announcement, anything of what people have announced will come true. And God will do that for a reason, namely, to justify His word, that no man knows day and hour. And these two Polish brothers, who were in Holland at the conference and who visited us, they adopted the argumentation of the other brothers. And they said, yes, it is written that nobody knows the day and hour. And then the argumentation went to the point that one could know probably the month or the year. And this is such a clumsy thing, everyone notices it. On one place it says, no one knows time and hour. And if he reads the other, then the Lord says, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in His own power. And already the brother said, oh, this we didn't see, but this is also written in the Bible. So one can really take one scripture and writing on it until one gets sore, and then you might probably stop. Instead of taking the whole Bible, even when the enemy came and said, it is written, then the Lord came and said, it is also written. And He answered with the word of God all questions. And I think the Lord catches the wise in their wisdom and will let them stand as fools. And those who are said to be fools today, they probably are the ones who at that point of time will come forth as the wise. Blessed is the person who can endure to be called a fool by all the others, and at the end enter the glory of the Lord. What does Paul say? We have become like nothing for the people, thrown around like dung, and nevertheless sent from God. We touched upon it briefly this morning. The enemy did not attack everybody, but the carriers of the word. Oh, them he attacked. He shot at them from all sides, and he thought he killed them. And do you know what the nice thing is? Brother Branham said it in a sermon. Every time when Satan had killed a prophet, he thought that he had ended and foiled God's plan. And when Christ was crucified, then he was most certainly of the opinion, now God has lost, now he is in my realm, and now it's so far. And then he says, quite simply, that Christ, our Lord, has taken away the keys from the enemy. And later on he could say, I have the keys of death and of hell. I live, and ye shall live also. Prophets were killed, but the word which they carried remained alive until this very day, and will remain alive until all eternity. By this it remains. Who has not shed his blood, has not given his life of all the men of God, up to the Lord who then died. Now, I don't know whether some of the brothers has briefly a thought from the Word of God, which can be a blessing for all of us. If this is so, please come now to the front. Heavenly Father, bless the words which we heard in our hearts. Faithful God, who are we? We ask you, be merciful to us. Give us the fear of God and the reverence before your word. Examine our hearts and know how we mean it. Lord our God, bless every scripture which will be read still, and give grace that we tune in on our inside, that we say yes to your word, that we submit to it, knowing that we are embedded in it. For it is a little thing to you to help the weak or the strong. Both depend on your help. O Lord, to you be the thanks and the worship for your precious and holy word. Amen. Amen. I had these two verses, not only verse 9, but also verse 8. I had them underlined for a long time. You can see it. I just wrote one verse above it in chapter 15. I would like to read both verses. Brother Kupfer read verse 9. Were not the Ethiopians and the Lubims a huge host with very many chariots and horsemen? Yet because thou didst rely on the Lord, he delivered them into thine hand. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. So far, this precious and holy word of God. Another word from the prophet Isaiah, from chapter 60, in verse 1, is written the well-known sentence, Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. But then, in verse 13, the glory of Lebanon shall come unto thee, the fir tree, the pine tree, and the box together. And now it comes. To beautify the place of my sanctuary, and I will make the place of my feet glorious. Is this not a wonderful word? And I will make the place of my feet glorious. And what is the place on earth where his feet rest when we read the seven church age messages? Then we found out that the Lord, after his resurrection, after his ascension, didn't pilger through Jericho or was seen on Sinai, but he walked amidst the seven golden candlesticks, the place where his feet walk is his church, which is called by his name. And here it is written, I will make the place of my feet glorious. And this means not only walking through, but to abide, to stay there where the Lord can come to rest, where he can abide, where he can feel at home, and we want to return to the first love. You all know, in the first church age message is written, I have against thee that thou left the first love. And if everything has to be restored to the original condition at the beginning, then it's not only about the word which was at the beginning, but about a church which is one heart and one soul, a church into which the love of God was poured out through the Holy Spirit, a church where his feet can rest, a place on earth in which God can feel at home. More words which I want to read in connection with last night. We heard the wonderful word from 2 Kings chapter 2. Before that, I would like to read 1 Kings 19 from verse 19. So he departed thence and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he with the 12th. And Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle upon him. And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, Let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow thee. And he said unto him, Go back again, for what have I done to thee? For what have I done to thee? And he returned back from him, and took a yoke of oxen, and slew them, and boiled their flesh with the instruments of the oxen, and gave unto the people, and they did eat. Then he arose and went after Elijah and ministered unto him. Here, we read it, and last night already we heard it in the sermon of Brother Branham, that a divine commission can no more be stopped, and that one makes the decision on the spot and doesn't need time to think about it. Elisha slew the yoke of oxen of which he was responsible for. He took the instruments of the oxen and made the fire with it. And all who remained, them he prepared a meal, but he himself received a divine commission, and he could no more return to his mother or to his father, but he went on his way, for in his heart something happened. Elijah was not allowed to speak one single sentence. When he passed by, he took off his mantle and he threw it upon Elisha and went on his way without having said one single word. Beloved, if God is in a man who is on his way to carry out the commission of God, then he doesn't have to make many words. On whom the call falls and who is ordained to be included into the program of God, with him it has happened on the spot. He doesn't need years. He doesn't need people with whom he discusses, but he will go on his way, and everything to which he could still return, this he will burn behind him. And Elisha did that. He could no more return to the yoke of oxen, for them he already slaughtered, and the instruments were burned. For him there was no return anymore. For him there was only a walking forward. And yesterday we heard it, that this is a comparison with Christ and the church. For us, who we were touched by God, there is no return anymore, only a walking forward until we have crossed the River Jordan, until we have reached our destination, and this not from us, but by the grace of God. A second stood out to us, that Elisha not even hearkened to the prophet who wanted to test him, and who had to test him, and he said to him, "I go to Gilgal, you stay here." And what does this man say? "As the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not stay here, I go on." This is something very wonderful. If you wanted to stop a man whom the Lord has truly called and tell him, "Stop," he will not stop. And he will not be stopped. He will walk on as long as God walks on. And this is, of course, a great lesson. Brother Branham compared it with that the people at their confession to Christ or at the baptism, that they time and again stop at a certain stage, and then they rest and they think everything is good. But Elisha didn't remain in Gilgal. He didn't remain in Jericho. He didn't remain in Bethel. He didn't stay anywhere. He just walked on with Elijah. For he had the word of the Lord. What does this man Elisha want in Gilgal when the man of God who carries the word of God walks on from there? Then he sits back at a lonely post without having the word of the Lord in his midst, and this urged him. Most certainly he knew Gilgal and Bethel and all these places. To him it was not about to see Gilgal once as a tourist, but for him it was about where you go, there I go also. And as the Lord liveth and you yourself liveth, I leave thee not. This has become my and your decision. Nobody can stop us. We have been called by God, and therefore we were ordained to walk through all these stages until we reached the promised destination. All the others who were not called, they were already in Gilgal. They were already in Bethel. There was the school of the prophets. They were all there already. Then one more didn't matter anymore. But this one more was not ordained to remain in their school of the prophets. He was ordained to go on, walking on, goal-orientated. And this makes me happy. This makes us all happy, because the divine call has come into our lives. Therefore, we will not stop at any stage, but walking on with our God until the end, until also our eyes see the glory of God at the return of Jesus Christ, when he will come to take the bride home. Elijah was fetched with a fiery chariot and with a fiery horses. Also we will be fetched. Our Lord comes as he went up into heaven to take his own home. Important is that we didn't stop, not walking on own ways, but goal-orientated, following him who had the word of the Lord. The sons of the prophets could not do anything with Elisha. Oh, they could prophesy, they could do many things. And they said, "Do you know that the Lord will take you away from your Lord, taking you up?" "Yes, I know this. Be quiet. Leave me alone. Do not hinder me. I am not appointed to hear what you have to say unto me. I am ordained to receive the word from the Lord and to get a double portion and to carry on this ministry by the grace and by the power of God." So, no stay. Also not there where they said, "Listen, we have a mighty revelation. Do you know this Elijah who walks before you? He will be raptured. This was revealed to us." The people did not stand totally outside, but they were enough outside to stop and hinder him who walked in the right footsteps and to lure him to the side so that he doesn't reach the destination. And they first spoke of the same revelation which this Elisha already received. This is the thing. If they would have spoken of communism, then he didn't hear one sentence, and of denominations also not. But they started to speak his language and to throw to him the bait to then pull him ashore. But this I may say here, the man didn't speak his language at all, but the language of God. To him came the word of the Lord, and therefore he could discern whether the people wanted to speak to him about rapture, about message, about all the things. This went here in and here out, and he walked on. Thanks be to our God. Last night we have heard it, that this is an illustration to Christ and the church, the true church of Jesus Christ will not be stopped. She will walk on until she will have reached the destination and the heavens open and the Lord returns to take his own home. I'm grateful to the Lord for all these lessons. It couldn't have been more timely and clearer. Do we all understand this? Did we grasp this? What is God about in this lesson? We must. Amen. Thank you, sister. This was high time. Many shall thank the Lord and should say a strong Amen, whether they are the sons of the prophets in Jericho, whether they are in Bethel. And you all know, it gets even better. Jericho is, so to say, the robber's den, but Bethel, this is the city of God. So, here are you, here is the city of God, stay now here. And this man says, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, whether city of God, whether not city of God, whether sons of the prophets or not, I go on as long as God walks on. I will not leave thee. This is the mighty lesson which we may receive from all this sermon of last night by his grace. No matter whether here is a multitude which is enthusiastic about the prophet and a multitude there, the one remains on the left side and the other one on the right side. And all who were called by God and who were ordained, they walk goal-orientated their way with God until they will see his glory, and to them you and I shall belong. Our Lord is of course able to help the weak and the strong likewise, for both depend on his help, and therefore we come to him. And today we want to thank him as never before, praising his name, because we received the revelation by the Spirit from all the sermons which Brother Branham preached by the commission of God. Have you all understood the divine lesson through the sermon which was translated last night? Then just say a very loud Amen. Let us come to the front and thank the Lord together with all our hearts. For he is worthy, his name is holy, his word is holy, his call, his message, whatever it might be, everything what comes from God is holy, and we receive it and are sanctified in the truth of God, and his name is hallowed in our midst by believing him and trusting him, coming to him with a thankful heart. This we want to do now. Together we will thank the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Heavenly Father, we thank you with all our hearts for this hour of grace, for this time of grace. You have spoken so clearly to us, and what was once repeats in our day. But Lord, your elect, whom you have purchased, with whom you have spoken, to whom you have given the promises, Lord, we don't let ourselves be stopped by the sons of the prophets. We hear your call. We hear your voice. Personally, we don't need to hear other voices. We hear only your voice. Hallelujah. We have recognized the hour and the time in which we arrived. Lord, we worship your name. You are nigh. Praise be to your name. Hallelujah. The love of God, always new, it's here for you. Just a few words to that, what we heard from 2 Kings chapter 2, especially last night. What we have taken to heart. The Spirit of God admonishes us most surely to open our eyes and to have spiritual understanding in order to understand in our time what we must do if we have heard the divine call. And if we want to reach the destination. Today, it's not about Elijah and about Elisha. Today, that's how we heard it clearly. It is about Christ and the church. This we heard very clearly. And it touched our hearts. On this pilgrimage, at that time, one could have said, in Jericho, great things have happened. Here were the spies. Here the Lord fulfilled a promise. He protected the house of the woman who received them. The walls of Jericho fell. Here we are reminded on that what God has done. But for Elisha, God was not the I was, but the I am. The one who doesn't remain standing, but the God who walks on. Of Bethel, one could have said it was previously called Luz. Here Jacob has seen the ladder going up into heaven. He saw the angels of God ascending and descending. Here he had his experience. The sons of the prophets, they had it easy to say, stay here, for here God revealed himself to our father Jacob. Here he wrestled with the angel of the Lord. Here the sun arose to him, but Elisha wanted that the sun rises to them. He was not satisfied with it, that it arose to Jacob, and that he wrestled with God, and that he found grace. Now it was his turn. Now it was his time. And on the River Jordan, one could have had also said, just imagine, here God has done mighty things. Here the River Jordan was divided. Here the 10.5 tribes, or 9.5, crossed to the other region. Remain here. This is the place. No. No stay. No stopping. And this became so great to me. And with this, we don't want to provoke anyone. It's a sad fact. Sons of the prophets there, disciples of the prophet there. Revelation here, revelation there. And some revelation, which is brought here or there, is more or less correct, but the rest not. And therefore, it went on and on until the point that satisfied this man. Everything else were places that had a reference to others, at other times, at other occasions. Now was his hour. Now he was required. Now he could walk by faith. And he could not be held back. Why not? He had made a promise his own. And the others had, of course, no promise. They could remain there. They didn't even know where they should walk. They remained there. He had the promise. When you see how this man is taken from you, just imagine, then it shall happen. How could he remain here and there? This was impossible. He had to, being urged by the Spirit of God, with a truth in his heart, walking on. He had a promise, and this was the driving force in his heart. The church, which was called out in these last days and still will be, doesn't stop. Sons of the prophets here, disciples of the prophet there, that's all well and good. Be quiet, I walk on. The same what this man did, must everybody do who is part of the body of Jesus Christ. We say, be quiet, and we walk on. This brought Elisha to the destination then, and this will bring us in these days to our destination. Just imagine, he would have remained in Jericho. He would have remained in Bethel. He would have remained here and there to hear what all the people had to say. He would have listened for hours and for days. And in the meantime, everything would have happened already. And he would stand there still listening. No, he knew what it was all about. For the power of God had already come upon him with the divine call. And that's how it is with all of us. We cannot do otherwise but to walk on with our Lord and Savior, and we will see his glory as certain as he promised it. He that overcometh That's how it is written in the last church age message. As I have overcome, he will sit with me on my throne. As I have overcome and sat down on the throne of my Father. So, whosoever is part of the overcomers cannot stop, cannot listen long here and there, and then being totally confused. Whosoever has heard of God keeps the word of promise in his heart and walks on. He doesn't mix it with anything, but waits until he sees it fulfilled. And the same will be with us, with all of the called out church. Can you believe this? I can believe it with all my heart. With all my heart. I can believe this. And this makes me happy. This makes me grateful. Praise and thanks to our Lord.